Now, I'm going to bring a message this morning. We're going to start in Luke 21. We're going to talk a little bit about some things that we may be seeing today.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here is the Ministry Training Center Vice President of Student Affairs, Kathy Smith.
I will say that when Pastor Aaron spoke last, he mentioned that he had talked to me about whether the Lord had given me a word and did I want to speak. And when he asked me that, I was like, yes, Lord, I know that you have given me something. But I prayed about it and I prayed about it and it was just like, nope, nope, nope. So I just kept telling him, no, no. But it wasn't the right time. And I'm kind of taken aback that today is the right time. Because when Pastor Jerry called me yesterday morning, I was like, oh, this is just not a Thanksgiving message. I'm not sure what's going on here, but I'm going to have to believe what we've been told, right? God knows the right times, the right places. His ways are not our ways. So I'm just going to bring you the word that God gave me. And actually, when Pastor Aaron was preaching this last time, the Lord had already given me this message. And actually, I kind of expected a phone call to cover that Sunday. Because I knew that, you know, Pastor Jerry had spoken with me already. He knew I was going to have a word. I knew I was going to have a word. But then the call didn't come, and I went, okay, God, maybe it's just not time. And then, you know, we had talked about another date, and then yesterday happened. And I was like, God, this is kind of not a convenient time. Isn't that like him? I swear he's got a sense of humor. He really does. And so I kind of was like struggling in my mind. It was like, Lord, are you sure this is the message for this Sunday? Because then I thought, okay, maybe you want me to do that later and you'll give me something else for today. So all day, I just shut myself up. I told Katie, I was like, I've got to speak tomorrow. I'm just going to shut myself in the room here and just, I got to seek the Lord. I'm waiting for him to like give me the yes or the no or here it is kind of deal. And because I started to go over, because I had made like notes as he downloaded, because he kind of downloads things to me. And so as he downloaded, I just made notes on my phone, you know, so that when I was ready to speak, I could kind of develop that. Well, I hadn't really bothered with that other than making those notes on my phone. And so I'm going through it, and I'm thinking, I just did not feel peace about it. And I just kept saying, Lord, I just don't understand why I'm struggling here. And I think the struggle was me, not him, because he was very clear with his word. And I was just thinking, this is just not a nice time to do it. But I'm going to say God knows better than I do, right? And I will tell you that this church is so blessed to have two pastors. Two. Now, that's unheard of in most churches this size. That we have two pastors that God has gifted and anointed to bring the Word of God. And they do it beautifully. They do it beautifully. And actually, God gave me this word back in December of last year. And as I was just praying, he just began to speak this word to stand, to stand, to stand. And so I texted Pastor Jerry back in December because I went through my text messages. I went, when did I text him that? So I texted him that. And he agreed. And because I said, 2023, the word is to stand. And so I was like, Lord, you gave me a message, but I don't have an opportunity. I'm puzzled. But I went on with my life, and guess what? I got tested all last year about standing. You know, I got knocked in the knees. I got punched in the stomach. I was just, it just seemed like every which way I turned, there was a roadblock. And every time I had a decision, are you going to stop or are you going to keep going? And every time I had to stand up and go, I'm not stopping. I know what God has spoken to my heart. I know what He's given me to do. I will not stop. Now, I'm not going to tell you I didn't fall into some pits and have some pity parties and have to be prayed right out by my prayer warriors here, Rhonda and Judy. We meet every morning. And it's a safe place. It's a safe place because we're able to share our struggles and then we're able to get into the Word and encourage each other. And we pray over each other every morning before Judy and I go into work and before Rhonda starts her day. And we do that every morning. And it's been such a blessing to me to help me. Because, like I said, it's not always easy, the things that we go through. But as I looked back over the messages, and I wrote them all down from last year, I went on the website, and if you don't know this, you can go on the church website, livingwaterchurchwv.com, go to the sermons page, and scroll down, and you can watch every message that has been preached. I don't know how far back they go, Rick, do you? Okay, well, at least the last year, you can see them all. And so I wrote down just the titles of these sermons. And as I was looking at them, I'm thinking, God gave our pastors messages that would encourage us to stand and to hold on all year long. And if you've been paying attention, you would understand that. Let me just read some of them. Vantage point, new year, same God. The walls are falling down. Now, some of these are things that we need to address and be strong and take courage in. And some of these are things about our God that are teaching us His character and who He is and what He does. And so we got a God's repayment system. I don't know if I want to go back and watch that one. That seems a little... Because God does bring judgment. And then we have keep on casting, parts 1 and 2. See, if there's more than one part to a message, you can pretty much guarantee that God has something specific He wants you to get because He's going to tell you more than once, right? Keeping yourself in Him. Signs of a faithless generation. Are you friends with Jesus? Abominations explained. The why syndrome. Boy, aren't we good at that. I just did it yesterday. Why, God? Why do you want me to do this message today? A place called heaven, parts 1, 2, and 3. He wants you to know that He has prepared a place for you. He's made a way for you. You may ask, please, God, just make sure you please God. Remember that one? That's a nice little play on the word. When He speaks. It's not if He speaks, when He speaks, because He does. My Holy Bible bubble. How many of you have been staying in your Holy Bible bubble? Right? God is unfazed, therefore His word is unchanged. Celebrate Him. That's what we just did this morning in worship. Giving praise to our God. He loves it. He inhabits the praises of His people. He's here. Tell your story. Are you sharing your story with others? Are you telling people what Jesus has done for you? Are you making an impact for the kingdom of God by telling your story? Because your story is important. doesn't have to be the same as my story or someone else's story. It's your story. And you get to tell it. And only you can do that because it's your story. We've had several words from Jeremiah, parts 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Good words from Jeremiah. He is holy. Remember that one? That one punched me right in the stomach. Yeah. He's holy. He hasn't yet, but he will. And on, I could read all of them, but listen, think over the past year and the encouragement. This is what our pastors are to do. They're not here to, you know, do all the work of the church. They're here to bring the word of God and to equip the saints to do the work. Right? That's their job, to bring the word and equip the saints. And that's what they do, and they do it beautifully. So we really do have a great blessing with two pastors that are just so anointed. And I'm going to bring a message this morning. We're going to start in Luke 21. We're going to talk a little bit about some things that we may be seeing today that they saw in the past as well, and that may be seen in the future, okay? Luke chapter 21, verses 9 through 36. It's a lot of verses, but I'm going to try to get through it real quickly. It says, "But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he said unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you, and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls." Remember that phrase, because we're going to come back to that. In your patience possess ye your souls. "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and not let them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, and that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon his people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare it shall come on all them that dwell on the whole face of the earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Father, we just want to ask, Lord, that your word would go forth this morning. Lord, that our hearts would hear what you have to say to us as a body of believers, as your church, God. Lord, that we would take a stand and that we would be an enduring church, God. And Lord, that we would understand what that means in this day and this time. And so, God, I lift this before you, God. Let your word go forth in Jesus' name. Amen. In these verses, we're told these things will come to pass. When we see these things happening, don't be terrified of that. Because what are we seeing? Wars and rumors of wars, and things are happening, nation against nation. All these things are transpiring. But in those scriptures, Jesus gave those that believe in him instructions on what to do when these things happen. Now listen, this is one of those passages of scripture that had a meaning for the day and time that he spoke it, and also a future time and place. So that it is can be applied in both areas. Now, if you look at verse 13, it says, you will be a testimony in all these things. Now wait, what are we supposed to do? They'll lay your hands on you and persecute you and deliver you up in the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. What does persecution do? It gives you opportunity to share Jesus Christ. So when we're watching all this stuff going on TV, and I just don't do it. I don't watch it. It just kills my spirit. It just vexes my soul. I don't. And a lot of people tell me all these things that are transpiring, and I'll be like, oh, okay. You know, but at the same time, they're terrified of what they're seeing. It's causing fear and angst in their spirit. And they're worrying and they're fretting and they're scurrying to like, oh, I'm going to save all my money and I'm going to get it out of the bank. People are taking money out of the bank and buying gold and all kinds of stuff because they are fearful. But that's not what Jesus is telling us here. He says, you'll be a testimony in all these things. That's what our job is. And then in verse 19, it says, in your patience possess ye your souls. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Because that one, that's a challenge for us today. In your patience possess ye your souls. And then in verse 36, he says, watch therefore and pray always. You know, we talk about, you know, oh, red in the morning, sailors take warning. Red at night, sailor's delight, right? These things are in the scriptures. And so, are we discerning the signs of the times? Are we watching? See, because we should be watching and going, okay, I see this beginning to happen, and I see this beginning to happen. Now what am I supposed to do? Now what am I going to do? Not I'm going to be fearful, but I'm going to ready myself because I see things coming to pass that are in the scriptures. Guess what? Pastor Aaron told us a few weeks ago that if God said it, it will happen. We don't have to worry and fret, but we do have a role to play. So if we apply this to today, we know that we are in the last days, possibly the very last of the last days. Many pastors that I've watched or seen speak lately are talking that we are in the very end of the last days. And the Lord could return at any minute, at any moment. Are we ready? Are we ready? In other countries, it's been said that those who profess Jesus Christ have faced severe hardships. Now, I say it has been said because I don't watch the news, so I don't know for sure myself. I'm not certain. But I've heard these reports. I've not seen them personally happen. Now, although I think you could probably search the internet and see that stuff if you wanted to, but I don't want to. But people have suffered being ostracized from their families. Their families won't have anything more to do with them if they profess Jesus Christ. They're unable to pray or even appear to be praying in public. There are laws being put into place in other places that if they think you're praying, you're going to get arrested. Even if you're minding your own business and not even praying out loud, they're going to arrest you. Imprisonment, torture, kidnapping, and even death are happening today to people who profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Pastor Joseph from India has spoken many times here, and he's told of the persecution that happens in India. I've seen videos and testimonies of persecution in China. They have to go to underground churches to worship Jesus Christ. We don't have any idea what that's like here. Have any of you experienced any of those kind of hardships because of your faith? Can we say that we've been persecuted because of our faith in Jesus Christ? The church in America is very comfortable. We're comfortable. And so the time has come to prepare and take a stand for your faith. And God wants you to know it because He doesn't want you to be surprised by that. Because today we're going to examine the church. And it might have a few ouchies, a few pricks, a few pokes. But we're going to examine the church, what we should be, what we are, and how we can change it. And so let's look in Matthew chapter 16. I want you to see what Jesus says about the church. And then I want you to tell me if that's what you see today. Okay? Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Does that sound like our church today? Does that look like a body of believers in America today? I think we're missing it. We missed the boat. Because Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Boy, we sure do see some prevailing, don't we? We sure do see wickedness abounding. What are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? In verse 19, he also gives you a promise that he's given you. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The church has the keys to the kingdom of heaven. They're getting rusty because we haven't picked them up. They're getting rusty. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now there's lots of teaching on this binding and loosing stuff. And I'm not going to say that, you know, you're going to be able to say, I want $1 million and God's going to drop it. That's not what this is about. That's not what this binding and loosing is about. It's not about getting of things. But in the rabbinical perspective, that means in the Jewish perspective, in the rabbis' perspectives, they say to bind something was to forbid it, and to loose something was to allow it. So this scripture, Christ is releasing spiritual authority to his followers and given us power over all the powers of Satan. Why are we letting him harass us? Why do we want to go, well, Satan just won't leave me be? Why are we putting up with that? Because right here, we have been given all power and authority over Satan to bind his power. We can bind what he's doing. We can push him back. We can hold him back. Are we doing it? And then to loose people from his power. Do you understand that you have the power to free someone from Satan's influence? You can pray for them and get a release for them because you've been given that authority to do that. Are we doing that? Is the church today exercising our authority? I don't see it. I don't see it. Instead of cowering down to Satan and being fearful of what we see happening or things that are going on, we should be storming the gates of hell and using that authority that he's already given us. It's ours. If you are a believer and follower of Jesus Christ and you've made him your Lord and Savior, you have the authority to put Satan in his place. But we don't exercise our authority. We let him knock us over. We let him beat us up. We let him accuse us. You know, he stands in heaven and accuses us day and night before God. And we let him do it in our ear. Oh, you're not good enough. Oh, you can never do that. Who do you think you are? You holier-than-thou person? Anybody ever hear voices like that in your ear? And we let him keep us down and ineffective because we won't step out and believe what God says about us. We have to take the authority that we've been given and use it as a body of believers. And this church is exceptional compared to many, many other congregations that you might visit. I believe that we've got pastors that allow God to move and the Holy Spirit to work and things to happen and transpire. And believe him. And they're setting an example for you to do the same thing. See, we don't just have to wait for the pastor to pray. How many times do we do that? Oh, I just need the pastor to pray. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But you have the power and authority to pray. as well. And we need to step up and begin to do those things. You know, persecution was the catalyst for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be spread from every region out of Jerusalem into Judea, Samaria, and to othermost parts of the world. Persecution did that. That's what pushed the gospel forth. And so when we see persecution coming our way, it shouldn't scare us. It should compel us to share the gospel and reach out and share Jesus Christ no matter what. You know, and the church has kind of crippled themselves here in America. We like comfortable seats. We like air conditioning. We like things to be convenient and timely and on time and not too long. Don't preach to me too long. And, you know, only tell me pretty words. We like that. But if we had to travel thousands of miles or hundreds of miles to be able to be in a service, would we do it? If we had to sit on the hard concrete floor, would we do it? If we had to memorize little slivers of scripture written on paper because you can't have a Bible, would we do it? Would our faith still stand then? Or would we be shaken to the foundations? Because we have to build our life on Jesus Christ. We have to have a firm foundation so that we can stand. And we need each other. Listen, if I didn't have my prayer people, I would feel shaken a lot. Because the enemy he won't leave you alone because he doesn't want you to be effective for him. But at the same time, you don't have to fall down to him. And so we need encouragement from one another. And I think this church is very good at that as well. That we reach out and we encourage one another. If you feel like you're out there all alone, like call someone. Call someone, like phone a friend, right? And say, man, I'm having a hard time. I'm struggling. I need someone to hold me up. Help me. I want to turn to the book of Revelation, and I want to talk about a couple churches that we see in chapter 3. In Revelation, the Apostle John addressed seven churches that represented seven churches of his day, but they also represented seven church ages and dispensations. That's a big word. You know, times. Time periods. And so we see how the church has lost its fervor and its strength and become complacent and unconcerned. We're just concerned about ourselves. Not concerned about the world or people that don't believe or people who haven't received Jesus yet. We're filling ourselves up with all kinds of good stuff. But for what? We're supposed to be sharing those things. So in those seven times, every time he addresses one of these churches, he tells them, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." He's telling us, unclog your ears. Hear me. Hear what I have to say to you. Why does he want you to hear? Because he wants you to respond to what he's saying. In Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. God is calling the church to repent. This church represents that spiritual condition of the church that's just prior to the return of Jesus Christ. Do we see that? Is that what we see today? Lukewarm. You're not hot or cold. You believe that you're rich and you're increased with goods and you have need of nothing. We're filled with pride. We don't have need for anything. We've got it, God. We don't even know it. And it says, well, they don't even know. You don't even know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. We've so deceived ourselves that we think we've got it all together. We've got our mega churches and we're serving coffee and donuts and we're doing all the fun things. We don't even realize that we have need. I remember when we went to Jamaica the first time, and Katie was 14, so I had to go with her. And it was quite the eye-opener of the privilege that we have here in America. When we walked into that school, I could just see it hit her in the face. Concrete floors, little wooden desks to sit in. They didn't provide them anything. They had to bring their own food for lunch. You don't go to school for free in Jamaica. If your parents can't afford to pay, you don't get to go. They don't have computers and all the technology that we have here. And so it was such an impact on her to see the privilege that we have here. And we just go about our lives being privileged and have all of our things. And yet we're not even concerned about people who don't believe. And we get complacent. And God is saying, repent. Repent, therefore. Turn from that. You know, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Jerry came after Pastor Aaron preached about God as being holy. And he said, I feel like God is calling people to repent. Did we respond? I can't look into your heart and see if you responded to that. But you know. Did you respond to that repentance? In Jesus' day, he called the Pharisees hypocrites. They were supposed to be the religious people. Right? Let's look in Matthew chapter 23. We're going to start in verses 25 and read through 28. And it said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. Jesus wasn't real impressed with their righteous religious behaviors, was he? He called them out. He's not impressed with what we can portray on the outside. That's not what he's looking at. He doesn't want you to paint yourself all up and make a picture of how righteous and holy and good you are. Because if you're rotten on the inside, it doesn't matter what the outside looks like. And so he calls for repentance for that. He wants us to turn away from those things that are not what he would want for us. We don't want a religious spirit. And I can speak of that because I was that. I grew up in the church. I did all the church things, said all the church words. But I was just as ugly and defiled in my heart as ever. I had no concern for anybody else. And then Jesus showed up and went, "What are you doing?" He kind of shook me up a little. You know, sent me into this church. I remember it years ago. I was scared to death. Scared to death. Because someone spoke in tongues, it frightened me so bad, I was looking for the door. Because I didn't know. I was like, what in the world is going on here? But at the same time, God's going, don't run. It's me. And it sent me on a journey to find out who are you then? Right? And he began to change me on the inside this time and help me to grow and to mature. And that's what he wants for you. He doesn't want you to stay where you've always been, in the condition that you've always been in. He wants you to change and turn from those things that aren't pleasing to him. It's a hard world for our kids to grow up in right now. And we look and we see all the things that they're faced with. Sex is just all in their face. Drugs, just all in their face. When I went to school, you knew drugs were around, but you never really saw it right out in your face. Guess what? It's right in their face today. They may be even partaking, thinking it'll be okay. That won't hurt me. It's okay, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. See, these are lies of the enemy that he's coming after our children with. He's taking them down paths in their video games, in their school, everywhere. They're being fed worldly beliefs. And if we are not teaching them here and in our homes, they're gonna believe it. Because guess what? It's the norm for them. It's normal for them to see same-sex relationships. It's normal for them. Oh, I can drink a little bit. It's okay. I can take this drug. It won't hurt me. It's just for fun. I can have sexual thoughts about that person because look how they're dressing. That's not an excuse, right? And so all these lies are coming into our society and into our families and into our homes. And we have to do something about it. And if we don't turn from our wicked ways, this church is not going to be effective. We can't be effective and have one foot in the world and one foot on the side of Jesus. We have to take our stand, make our choice. Where are we going to stand? With the world and be accepting and tolerant like we're told? Or are we going to stand on what God's word says? And I'm not saying go get your bullhorn and scream at people that they're going to hell. I don't believe in that. But we have to decide now who we are going to stand for. Because guess what? Persecution isn't just going to happen somewhere else. It's coming to America. Our nation is declining rapidly. And there will be a day when we will have to make a choice. Are we going to stand for Jesus, or are we just going to go along with the world and what we're being told that has to happen? So we need to decide today. We can't wait. It has to be a today decision. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3 again. And we're going to read verses 7 through 13 in Revelation chapter 3. This is written to the church of Philadelphia. Now, they were doing a good job, right? And it says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Take your stand. Choose who you will serve, because there are promises here, promises of blessing, if they persist in becoming overcomers. Right? Be persistent. Endure. They were given an open door and protection because they did not forsake the name of Jesus, and they were holding on even though their strength was little. Guess what the scriptures tell us? When we're weak, he is strong. Our only job is to hold on, right? In Matthew chapter 24, verses 11 and 12. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." This is written to believers. Because iniquity is abounding, the love of many will wax cold. He's talking about us and our love. Are we being loving to the world? What are we showing? Are we enduring? Have we decided we're going to endure to the end? We're going to hold on tight. Enduring means to suffer something painful or difficult patiently. Ow. Because how do we normally endure something that's painful or difficult? We like to call a friend and whine. We like to have a pity party. But we're told to endure, and that means patiently endure. Listen, this is stabbing me. I don't know about you. Because sometimes I don't patiently endure. Endure to remain firm in a commitment to be true to the commandments of God despite temptation, opposition, or adversity. So here's our first assignment. Will you commit to be true to the commandments of God? 1 John says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." How are you doing? Only you can evaluate. I don't see into your life. I don't see what you do at home in private. So you have to evaluate. Do I love God? Do I love him? Because if I do, I'm going to keep his commandments. I'm going to endure patiently. I just told you that America is running toward destruction. We have a responsibility as the church of Jesus Christ, as the believers who follow him, to do something about it. And sometimes I think we watch and we go, what can we do? Everything's just out of control. We forget about the watch and pray that he gave us back in Luke 21. We're to watch and pray. Your prayers make effect. It changes things in the world. You may not feel like you're making any impact, but you do when you will commit to praying for your nation. God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from your wicked ways, what will happen? Guess what? He hears and he'll heal our land. We can make an impact, but we have to wake up. We have to wake up. We can't continue to just be complacent and say, oh, well, that's not happening here. That's just happening way over there. It just really doesn't affect me at all. I still get to live my life. I still have plenty of food to eat. Well, I don't need to be concerned. But it's coming. It's coming here. Are you going to be ready? Patience. Let me go to James 5 first. James chapter 5. Now remember, I told you to remember Luke 21:19. It says, in your patience, possess ye your souls. All right? We're going to talk about what that means just a little bit. In James chapter 5, starting in verse 1, go ye now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ow. And ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Boy, it sounds like us, doesn't it? Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down the fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. But ye have lived in pleasure on earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Let's talk a little bit about patience. Patience has been defined as the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. I'm not very good at that. That's another owie for me, right? It's hard. Life is hard. And in our own fleshly selves, we're just ugly. I don't know about you, but I'd just be ugly without the power of the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that enables us to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. It's not what we do. It's not who. It's what he does for us. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus told his disciples to wait for the promise of the Father. Why? Because they would receive power to be witnesses for him. We need the Holy Spirit power. We can't do it on our own. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Too many of us have been taught to be afraid of him. I was scared to death. He is your friend. And he wants to help you. Jesus said he was sending him to be our helper. When he was leaving, he sent the Holy Spirit to help us, to teach us, to guide us, to lead us, to tell us the things of what Jesus and God are up to. Because he knows, right? And he wants to help us and tell us these things. James here in these verses refers to the two rain cycles, and he reveals just as the rain is required to ripen the fields and the fruit trees for the harvest, the Holy Spirit will be poured out to prepare the souls on earth for Christ's return. Guess what? He's not going to leave us here in despair. He has already promised an outpouring that will come before he returns to pour it out upon this earth. And I want you to see that promise because I want you to remember it. It's in Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 28 to 32. This is the promised outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, we've already seen it happen once. He didn't just say it's a one and done, right? And so he's promising, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And we've seen and heard of revival taking place and the Spirit of God just filling a place. Do we want that here? Because I'm telling you, he's going to do it. Are you ready? Are you ready for it? He wants to pour out his Spirit here because there are people that we will be ministering to that need Jesus Christ. And if we are not willing and ready to receive that outpouring, we're delaying it. We want to make our hearts ready for him. And so today I'm going to invite you to examine your heart. Where are you? Do you want everything that he wants to give you? Are you willing to receive everything? Are you willing to lay down some things that maybe ought not be in your life? Father, we just want to thank you and praise you for this word, God. Lord, we know that when you say things that it will come to pass. And God, we see our nation declining, Lord. And God, I ask that you would help each one of us to begin to prepare ourselves to be firm and steadfast and enduring. Lord, that we would be that enduring church that goes through these things with patience. Lord, waiting for even that last soul to come, God, because you are patient in that way. And God, do you want all to come to repentance? And so, Lord, help us to see where we need to repent and to change, where we need to make a change, and where we need to be the church that Jesus declared we would be. Lord, and storm the gates of hell and not be afraid, and to take the authority that you have given us and use it in the name of Jesus, God. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.